Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff, only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk? Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hello, everybody. It's my favorite time of the week. Once again, Thursday at 3. I always say I love how that rolls off your tongue. Thursday at 3, Eastern Time. Time for the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook, coming to you from Bethesda, Maryland, and literally coming to you straight from the Montgomery County dump in Rockville or Durwood, Maryland, where I just emptied a truck. I'll come back and talk about these guys a little bit later. They have quite the operation going here. But it's been a fun week. The bottom line of today's show is that there's never been a better time in the history of the world to be alive than right now. And my last week, which was a pretty typical week, will kind of illustrate that for everybody. I left Washington, D.C. Thursday night about 6:30 on a $50 flight to go to Ontario, California, which is just east of Los Angeles. And I stopped over in Denver, went on to Ontario, and Friday morning went to a home where the lady had purchased. A lady drove up from Gilbert, Arizona, really nice lady, to help her son, who is 52, move his stuff out of an apartment and move in with a friend. We were going to do this job a month ago. And what they did was they bought our special. We have a 2024 for the year 2024. We made 24 house clean-out vouchers available. These can be used anywhere in the continental United States. And we made 24 of them available, which gives you up to 5 truckloads of junk removal done for the price of $2,024. Normally, it's $695 per truck. This is a 12-foot box truck like what you'd rent from Home Depot. $695 times 5 of those is about $3,500. But we made 24 of them available for $2,024 to bring in the new year of 2024. And of the 24 that we've probably sold 15 or 16 of them so far. And this lady in Gilbert, Arizona saw it and bought one and then used it to get her son's apartment cleaned out. So a shout out to Alamo Rent-A-Car. I showed up at the Ontario airport at about 8 o'clock in the morning, picked up a screaming hot Dodge Ram 1500 pickup truck that was $36 a day with unlimited miles. And I drove maybe 15 miles, I guess, to Covina, California, where the job was. Went by myself. Because it was Easter weekend, the flights to bring a buddy with me, a co-worker with me across the country, were like $500 one way. And I went for much cheaper because I'm a big fan of Frontier Airlines Go Wild Pass, which I use all the time. And $600, you buy it, and it saved me $2,400 in the first month that I used it, and I still have, I think, 2 or 3 more months to use it. But anyway, it was fabulous. So I go out there, I rent a truck, I show up, I start hauling stuff away, and I got to tell you that the guy that I was there to see had just had a kind of a confrontation, I guess, the night or two nights before. He did not look good. He looked like he went, you know, six rounds with Mike Tyson and that Mike used both arms, you know. He did not look good. I felt bad for the guy. But his wonderful mother was there to help him out, and I just kind of started cleaning this place out, ran some stuff to the La Puente landfill, which is about 15 or 20 miles away. Those guys have quite the operation going on. It was a minimum charge of $95 to get in the door there, but that's okay. So I loaded this truck a couple of times as full as I could get it, both in the back, and I filled up the middle section in between the driver and the bed, the cab section, we'll call it. So anyway, I made a couple of runs there. I made some runs to Goodwill and donated some stuff. Made some runs to a really cool place, which I'm going to have to pause to remember their name. Oh, I know what it is. You know the scripture in the Bible? It talks about do unto others as you'd have others do unto you, right? Everybody knows that phrase. Some brilliant people out in, I think they're in Pomona, California, changed the first word to the word new, N-E-W. And they have a thrift store there. It's called New Unto Others. Now, that's pretty clever because you know how they talk about one man's trash is another man's treasure? Well, your discarded stuff is going to be a new purchase to somebody else. So they came up with this name, New Unto Others, which I thought was brilliant. And I donated a bunch of furniture to them, which was fortuitous because the guy that lived in the apartment was a smoker and also had a cat. And those are two things that tend to damage furniture in a lot of ways, either by the smell or by scratch marks or cat hair or whatever it might be. But these guys that knew unto others took it anyway. And they gratefully took it. I was quite impressed. I do this all over the country, and I'm quite familiar with donating stuff to people and different organizations in a bunch of different states. But these guys at New Unto Others were terrific. And, you know, they have a couple of young bucks that just put down the tailgate of your pickup truck and then in one bound just jump up into the truck, which I used to be able to do. I don't know that I can do that anymore, but they just, it's kind of fun to watch them. And they just hop up there and they clean it out and they haul the stuff off and they give you a donation receipt and whammo, I'm gone and my truck's empty and I go back and do another load. So it really was terrific. And I got to do a shout out to another fast food place, and I'm probably not going to get this right. I'm going to say it's La Polo Loco, P-O-L-L-O, I think, La Polo Loco, who kind of specialize in one of my favorite meals, which is taco salads. And I bought one a day for on Friday. I got one. I got another one on Saturday. I was having so much fun. These are really, really good. So the people out in L.A. will know all about this place and probably a bunch of other places around the country. I had not heard of them. They're not out in the Washington, D.C. area. But boy, was I a fan of their food. And I loved it. And it was fabulous. So I was in Los Angeles for Friday and Saturday, finished up the job at about, I don't know, 4 o'clock Saturday, and then drove 2 hours south to Ramona, California, where my stud nephew, who is just leaving the Navy in the next couple of months after 5 years of service, where he lives. This guy drives nuclear submarines. He went to the nuclear submarine school. The USS Alexandria is in port right now in San Diego. And that's his sub that he drives around and maneuvers around and has a blast with. He'll go out to sea a couple of times, has done that for a few years, and sometimes he's gone for months at a time. So he took me on a tour of this sub. No pictures allowed, of course, but he took me on a tour of the sub, and I think we went down at least three levels and maybe four from the top of the sub. He showed me the torpedoes. He showed me the missile silos. He showed me the guidance room. There's parts of the sub he couldn't show me. Showed me where he sleeps. Now, I think on this sub, which is, I think, longer than a football field, if I remember right, they have 150 men on this sub. This was an all-male crew that he's been working with for, I guess, a few years now. 150 guys on this sub. And he showed me where he sleeps. And I guess I'm telling you this story because, you know, sometimes you look at your own life and you go, oh, crap, why is this happening to me, right? There are other people who are out, well, I don't know, let's say 100 feet underwater, maybe deeper, I don't know, for weeks at a time. And, you know, you got 150 of you in this container, basically, nuclear powered. And he showed me where he sleeps. He sleeps, his bunk, so to speak, is an area that is about 6'4" long. He is 6'2". He's 205 pounds, he told me, loves to lift weights, eats a lot of meat. I mean, this guy's like a male lion walking around. He can, you know, he can just kind of do what he wants and kind of eats what he wants and has a good time and whatever. Great kid in great physical shape. There are three bunks, and the first one is at floor level. And to get into it, you have about 2.5 feet of vertical space that you have to maneuver through in order to get into your bunk. That's where he slept. So he's got basically a rectangular box about 2.5 feet high, about 6.5 feet long, and that's where he sleeps. And he's on one mattress that's probably 3 to 4 inches thick. There's another guy above him. There's another guy above him. There's three of them stacked up. And that's where they sleep. And I couldn't imagine my stud athletic nephew getting down low enough to get into that place where he sleeps. I totally was amazed at that. And he was just so at home on this sub. It's just what he does. So my point is there are people who voluntarily are out doing whatever these guys do in the Pacific, I guess trying to keep our country safe, right? Patrolling the seas, and they will put up with some really unusual day-to-day living situations just to protect you and me and keep us free, I guess, right? I was really quite amazed. So I was really kind of touched by this as I watched this happen. I got to do a shout out too on Saturday night when we got there. My sister had told me about the movie Boys in the Boat, which is a true story directed by George Clooney about the University of Washington men's rowing team that went to the Olympics. She had talked so much about it. She says it's one of the best movies she's seen in about 10 years. And I went, okay, that's my kind of show. I want to go see that. So we downloaded that on his TV screen, his nice big TV screen, and we watched that thing. And I think that cost us $3.99. Now, goes back to my comment about there's never been a better time to be alive, right? We didn't have to go to a movie theater. We didn't pay 15 or 20 bucks a person. We didn't have to get dressed up. We didn't have to buy popcorn. We just took our shoes off, sat back on the couch, hit a few buttons, and whammo, the movie starts. Now, we kind of take that for granted. People back in the 1930s would look at that and go, holy cow, how can I live in your generation? So we watched that movie Saturday night. It was fabulous. It was great. I slept like a baby. He's got this wonderful guest bedroom. And I don't know who made the mattress that I slept on, but I want that mattress. And then he also had some nice, thick bedding, which was great. I don't know, something about that just worked for me, and I was out, probably because of traveling across the country Thursday night, working all day Friday, working all day Saturday, driving 2 hours Saturday to go see him, watch a great movie. It was probably time for me to crash. Yeah, so I did, and I slept like a baby, and it was wonderful. So I do a podcast. I do a couple of podcasts. One of the podcasts I do is the Junk Refund Show, which all of these radio episodes turns into a podcast episode, both on bbsradio.com and on Buzzsprout, which is where I have my podcast listed. So I do this business podcast, but then I do more of a church religious podcast called How Great Shall Be My Joy. It's really for members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints to help them be better missionaries, better work with other people. If you have something really cool, how do you share it with other people in a natural, normal way so nobody feels like they're being pushed into anything or whatever? That's a little bit of a need sometimes I've thought when I started this podcast. And so I do this podcast. Well, on that podcast, about 2 weeks ago, I interviewed a friend of mine from high school named Shauna Edwards. Her middle name is Belt, Shauna Belt Edwards. And she is a Christian songwriter. And I interviewed her, and she talked about her experience back in 2010 of starting to list music videos on YouTube, which was a new thing back then. Around 2010, she put her first one together, and she made kind of the naive mistake of putting her email at the end of the description on YouTube. And she thought to herself, okay, I'm going to do this song. I'm going to put it up there. Maybe it'll get 100 views. In 3 weeks, it had 100,000 views, and she got 100 emails a day, which she answered personally. She then had to go in and take it down to get her email address off of YouTube, but that was in 2010. Now, 14 years later, her music videos have been viewed 50 million times around the world, over 100 countries, and she will write and generate about 10 new songs every year. So the reason I tell you that background is that I'm sitting Sunday morning in Ramona, California, at our church out there with that congregation. And the kids in the congregation, we call them the primary kids, the young kids, like ages like 2 to 11, are going to do a musical number as part of the program. The musical number is called A Miracle. A Miracle was written by Shauna Belt Edwards. So I'm sitting there in California in the congregation. They're about to sing one of Shauna's songs. I took a picture of the program and texted it over to Shauna. I said, hey, get a load of this. They're about to sing your song. And A Miracle on YouTube has over 4 million views. It might be the most viewed song that she's done. And she wrote it. I discovered this during the podcast. She wrote it while she was driving from Utah to Chicago to go visit a couple of her sons. And just had this impression that you should write a song about, you know, miracles and how they happen and stuff like that. So I'm sitting here in California in church, and lo and behold, my recent guest on my spiritual podcast is about to have her song performed on Easter Sunday. And I thought, that's the coolest thing in the world. So I got a big kick out of that, took a photo of it, shot it over to Shauna, and she responded back and she said, love it, with a couple of exclamation points. I thought it was pretty cool. So that takes you up through Sunday morning of my last weekend. Remember, this whole show is about, there's never been a better time in the history of the world to be alive than now. This religious podcast that I do, by the way, I've done it for about 2 years, has been listened to in over 40 countries and over 400 cities. And I just do it with an iPhone. So there's never been a better time in the history of the world to be alive than right now. So I'll come back and tell you more about my weekend, my Easter weekend, and some other fun stuff that I did, illustrating what a great life it is in just a moment, and how if you go out and do this kind of thing, whatever suits your fancy, you won't have time to think about the junk in your life. You'll be having too much fun getting rid of it and having a blast with your new adventure. So you're listening to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook. I'll be back in just a moment after you take a break, and we'll talk about some more fun stuff going on in Southern California.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. This is your host, Alan Cook, coming to you from Bethesda, Maryland, where our company is headquartered. The company is 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. That is also our phone number. It's also our website, 1-800-JUNK-REFUND.com. It's also our email address, 1-800-JUNK-REFUND@gmail. Or if you want to make it a little quicker, just do junkrefund@gmail.com. We have radio vouchers that are kind of cool, a special deal where if you call in during the show, you call 888-627-6008, and you talk to Don, our wonderful producer, and you just give him your name and number, he will forward it to me after the show, and then I will send you a link, and that link will allow you to buy two vouchers, which give you each voucher gives you a pickup truck of junk removal for $79. The normal price is $229. So you're saving $150 by listening to the show, basically. And that's a good deal. And they're only good in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. I mean, we love you folks in Topeka, Kansas, but we can't come out there for $79 and do a job for you. But we can do it in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, which is a pretty big area. And we can have a lot of fun with it. So I'm talking about what a great time it is to be alive right now. And you'll see, I mean, you watch the news like I watch the news, and you'll turn it on, and it's mostly negative, and it's mostly about problems going on, or who got shot, or what accident happened, or, you know, what cargo ship just hit a bridge in Baltimore, etc. But, you know, there's a lot of great stuff going on in the world, and it was illustrated just by what I did in the last week. I left Washington, D.C. Thursday night. I flew to Denver. I then flew on to Ontario, California, just outside of Los Angeles. That flight was about $50 because I'm a member of Frontier's Go Wild Pass group. It gives you free flights for a year. You pay $600 to join it, and then you fly free for a year. Well, they service Ontario, and that's where I needed to go. So I was there Friday, Saturday, went down to my nephew's place in San Diego Saturday night. Was there Sunday morning, went to church Sunday morning, and he has a buddy, I guess in the military, who has season tickets to the San Diego Padres. Now, when my nephew was in Washington, D.C., I would take him to Washington Nationals baseball games, and we had a great time at those games. I think it was the year 2018, I think it was, that the Washington Nationals won the World Series. And my nephew was at the Naval Academy at that time. So we were at the wild card game that was played in Washington back in 2018 when Juan Soto was on the Nationals team, and it was just a blast. And I think we played the Milwaukee Brewers, and I think it was a game that we won towards the end of the game. It was a very exciting game, and we were there. So he and I have this history of going to Major League Baseball games. So he asked me, he said, you want to go to the Padres game? They're playing the Giants, and my boss, will say, has season tickets, but he can't use them. Would you like to go? And I went, well, yeah, let's do it. So we went to a San Diego Padres game, which was a blast. We had a great time there. I like to collect bobbleheads of baseball games. I tend to go to the Baltimore Orioles games and the Washington Nationals games when somebody's giving away a bobblehead, because I love to collect the bobbleheads. And it gives me an excuse to go to a baseball game. I buy the cheap seats and I get the bobblehead. And if I'm lucky, as I'm walking out of the stadium, I look down the rows and someone else left the bobblehead behind, and I take that one and then I trade it outside the stadium for another bobblehead that I don't have, because there are people who try to make a living, or at least a hobby, out of collecting bobbleheads and buying them from crowd members and then reselling them on eBay and whatever. So anyway, my buddy, my nephew, had gone to a Padres game last year on a bobblehead night, and he got me a bobblehead and he held on to it for me. So I go there and he gives me a San Diego Padres bobblehead. While we're at the game, I buy us ice cream, and I buy the ice cream in the helmets. So you have a souvenir helmet you can take home. And I thought, hey, wouldn't that be cool to go to games in all the different stadiums eventually and buy ice cream in all of them and then end up with a helmet and end up with a collection of all the Major League Baseball teams' helmets that you went and saw their games and bought ice cream at. That's kind of fun. And so I had that idea when I was in the stadium, Petco Stadium. That was a blast. Let's see. I'm trying to think of what else was going on. We went and played golf at a golf course that's like 2 miles from his house, something like that. We played 18 holes of golf. Now, I'm here to tell you, when I was 14, I won our city youth amateur golf tournament by 21 shots. And there's not a better feeling in golf than to come down the 18th fairway at the end of a tournament and know that you could hit 9 balls consecutively out of bounds and you'd still win by 3. And that was kind of the situation I had when I was 14. So when I was 14, I thought, you know what, I should be a pro golfer. That would be a blast. I just love to play golf. The reason I'm saying this is I hadn't played in a while, and now I'm down there in San Diego. We rent some clubs for me, and I go out and play, and I'm telling you, I don't think I missed a drive the whole day. I spanked the ball. I mean, my nephew was stunned. And while we were playing, I couldn't remember the last time I played golf. I was trying to remember the last time I played golf. It had been a while. I just couldn't remember. But I had a blast playing golf. I could not hit a chip shot with a 54-degree wedge to save my life. I kept blading them, and they'd go scooting across the green, you know, at 90 miles an hour. But boy, was I killer good with the driver. So we played 18 holes of golf. We head back to his place, and then, I mean, if I haven't had enough fun already, then the women's NCAA tournament is on, and Iowa is about to play LSU for moving on in the NCAA tournament, and it's a rematch of last year's championship game. Now, if you don't know who Caitlin Clark is, in the United States sports world, you've been asleep. I'm sorry, but you've been asleep. Caitlin is a 6-foot-tall shooting guard for the Iowa Hawkeyes women's NCAA basketball team. Recently, she did something special. She became the highest scorer, the person who has scored the most points in their career, man or woman, in NCAA history. That was a record that Pete Maravich held for 54 years. Caitlin Clark now holds that record and is adding to it. I think in this game, and the interesting thing is, and this is going to show a little bit of my technology naivete, but we're back at my nephew's house, beautiful, I don't know, 70-inch TV screen or something that he's got there. And all across the bottom of the screen, you see a bunch of different TV apps like Hulu and Apple TV and all this stuff. And we're trying to get ESPN. Well, he doesn't have ESPN. So he takes out his phone. He plays around on his phone for a minute, and whammo, ESPN pops up on the screen. I said, how'd you do that? He said, I signed into my grandpa's account back in Utah. He said, we use it all the time. Me and my cousins, we use it all the time. He goes, there's probably a bunch of us trying to use it right now. Well, sure enough, that was good for about 45 minutes to an hour. We watched the game, and all of a sudden we lost it. So then he goes in on his phone, and he signs up for YouTube TV 20-minute free trial, which gives you ESPN. So we get the game back on again. And it's a great game, and we're watching it again. And we kind of fumbled our way through without signing up for a, you know, $80 a month package or whatever it is. We fumbled our way through, and we're able to watch this game, and it was terrific. And Iowa won, and they play again Friday night. And if you want to see a great basketball player, not only as a shooter, but as a passer and as a great teammate, watch Caitlin Clark play for Iowa. This is her last year. She's going into the WNBA. And again, she's 6 feet tall. And she is one of the shorter ladies out on the court. So Friday night, tomorrow night, she'll be playing. I forget who they're playing. But she's playing again the next round of the tournament, and you can thank me later because it's a lot of fun to watch. So we watched that game, but then I got to take off because it's now about 6 p.m., and in one of these online dating apps a month earlier, I had reached out to a lady in Los Angeles because I was supposed to go to Los Angeles to do the hauling job at the end of February. Then the lady canceled it for a month and postponed it so her son could live in the place for another month before his lease expired. So then I went out last weekend, and I told the girl in Los Angeles, I said, hey, I'm sorry, I'll let you know when I'm in L.A. next, but it looks like it won't be till the end of March. So I sent her a message, you know, Saturday or Sunday. I said, hey, I'm back in L.A. Do you have any time Monday night before I fly out of Ontario? Maybe I can meet you someplace. Folks, if you haven't had a piece of pie at Marie Callender's, then you need to find your local one, and even if it's out of state, plan a trip and go. And you need to get the berry pie a la mode with some vanilla ice cream and have them heat the pie up. And so the deal I made with this girl in L.A. was, I'll meet you. Is there a Marie Callender's close to you? And I'll meet you there. And she set it up. And goes, yeah, there's one like 20 minutes from my house. We could do that. So I met her there at about, you know, 8:30. They close at 9. We go in. She was a great lady, a terrific lady. She's also a very cheap date, folks. I mean, I'm just there. I took my nephew to get burgers at a place called Cheers, which we'll come back and talk about in a second, in Ramona. But because I had a big burger and a bunch of onion rings, I really wasn't that hungry, but I did want a piece of pie. I said, what would you like? And she said, I'll just have some ice water. And I went, I love you already. No, I went, okay. And I said, are you sure? She said, yeah. So the waitress comes over. I ordered the berry pie. And before I could say, could you heat it up and do it a la mode, she said, would you like me to heat it up and put some vanilla ice cream on it for you? And I went, you read my mind. Perfect. So she did. So then it was obvious that we weren't going to be able to stay there for hours. But I said, how long before we need to, you know, get out of here? And she said, when the ladies come out with the vacuums, then it's probably a good time for you to leave. Okay. So I'm talking to this wonderful lady who is from Oceanside, California, but originally from Quebec, has three younger brothers, has a fascinating life, and is just a real go-getter. This girl had been in Utah for Easter weekend, backwoods cross-country skiing, I think, is what she was doing. She's also a mountain biker. She's also a swimmer. And she's a go-getter. She was really fun to sit down and talk to. So my point of this one is, I guess, what I learned. I'm 65. I've been in the online dating world for 10 years. One of these days I'll do a show about what I've learned there. But, you know, a 65-year-old guy who people have trouble believing I'm in my 60s. They think I'm in my 50s. And I was told by a client 2 weeks ago that I look like I could start for the Washington Nationals. Now, the guys that start for the Washington Nationals are about 30 years old and are buff, right? Athletes. He said, hey, you could start for the Washington Nationals. I guess it's a byproduct of being active and hauling people's junk out of their homes all the time or something. But I did something rather than my traditional 10-year experience has been that I have dated people anywhere from 20 years younger than me to even took one lady out that was almost 20 years older than me just to see what it was like. But I tend to ask out people that are maybe 10 years younger than me or something like that. I don't really care. I just, that's kind of what I've naturally kind of gravitated towards. In this case, I met somebody who's only 2 years younger than me, and I'm glad I did, because it was so much fun to just talk about a bunch of different things. We have we're only 2 years apart. We have an awful lot in common. It was fun to learn about, somebody who speaks French and speaks English and is in the United States and is from Quebec, and all of her family is still back in Quebec. And she just had a fascinating story and a really nice lady and a dynamo, 5'3" go-getter who just has a blast. I asked her what her favorite sport was because I knew from her profile that she was pretty active in a lot of sports. And I think she said broom ball. Now, if you know what broom ball is, you probably were raised in Canada and you probably like hockey. Broom ball is a game where you have a ball, I guess maybe the size of a volleyball approximately, and you have special shoes that have suction on them so you can run on ice. And you basically play hockey on ice with brooms and a ball. And that is her favorite sport. Now, we don't play a lot of that in the Washington, D.C. area. And I'm telling you, they don't play it in Phoenix, okay? But it's big in Canada. And I learned about this new sport, and she was so excited about it. And she was describing how they played it and everything else like this. So I had a great time there. It's now like 9:15. I got to dash off to Ontario to catch the flight, and I'm here to tell you, yes, I fly cheap, but every once in a while you get a really strange takeoff time. Frontier Airlines leaves Ontario, at least they did on Monday night, at 12:59 a.m. That's right, a.m. So I get over to the Ontario airport. I'm there in time. I find a little quiet place off on the side. I lie down for an hour. I'm one of these strange guys that could do that, and I can actually sleep. And I just sat there, and I thought about my last 3 days. I thought, okay, Thursday night you're in Washington, D.C. You get paid to come to Los Angeles to do a job Friday and Saturday. You watch a great movie Saturday night. You go to church Sunday morning. You see a Padres game. You eat like a king. You go to play golf. We went to a great restaurant called Cheers that I took my nephew to because of their burgers. I do burger reviews on Facebook. I started doing it years ago. And you do enough of those, and pretty soon people will call you or message you, and they'll say, hey, my friends are coming into town. Where's a good place to get a burger in Washington, D.C.? I get those kind of questions. So I hadn't done a review in a while, so we went to Cheers in Ramona, California. I got the Cowboy Burger, which is a half-pound burger with onion rings and barbecue sauce on it. And I'm here to tell you, it was spectacular. Now, my nephew got some other burger. I can't remember what it was. He ate it so quick. It was, he just grabbed that sucker and started eating it. I went the more conservative route because it was stacked pretty high with those onion rings. And I actually got a knife and a fork and cut the thing up and did it, a bite at a time. And it was fabulous. I could have ordered. And in fact, I gave my nephew the option of getting a second burger, because he could have eaten it by the time I finished the first one. But he said, no, I'm good. And then I ordered a big thing of onion rings on the side with a Dr. Pepper. It was fabulous. I was just in heaven. It was so good. And that was my meal before I took off and headed up to Oceanside, California area to grab a piece of pie with a lady from Quebec. Now, this is all happening like in 3 days, folks. I mean, this is just so much fun. Oh, I'll be back to tell you about the beach, which we went to Sunday afternoon. More stories to come. There's more adventure in San Diego than I've told you so far and that you may know about. But anyway, you listen to the Junk Refund Show and how great it is to be alive now. The best time in the history of the world to be alive is right flipping now. And I'll be back to tell you some more stories about San Diego in just a second after we take a quick break.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to Junk Refund Show, folks. I'm just having fun reminiscing about my last weekend and what a great time it is to be alive. I went from D.C. to L.A. to San Diego, back to L.A. and back to D.C. in like 5 days. And it was an inexpensive trip, and it was a blast, and I had a great time. I do have to tell you a little bit about, I think it's Sunday afternoon. We're down in San Diego. I get a tour of the USS Alexandria nuclear-powered submarine, which my stud nephew, who's about to leave the Navy after 5 years of service, knows how to drive. He drives this sucker into port, a nuclear sub, folks. And he takes me on a tour of that, and then we go over to a place, and I think it's called the United Nazarene University or College, on the west side of San Diego. And you drive up onto their campus, and then you drive down around and you look at this beautiful, they literally are on the rocks above the ocean. And you sit there, and it's the perfect place to watch a sunset. We went over and parked in this place and kind of watched the ocean waves come in, which is just really therapeutic and wonderful. But then we pulled out of their campus, drove a couple of blocks north, turned left again, and got down literally on the road that's right next to the beach and is on the cliffs above the beach. And we hopped out and just walked along there. Now, this is Sunday afternoon, maybe 5 o'clock or something. And we're walking along there, lots of people down there. You're on cliffs about, I don't know, 50 feet, 70 feet above the beach. And some of those cliffs have been eroding and collapsing. And you have gorgeous big homes on the west, on the east side of the road that are looking out literally on the Pacific Ocean. And some of these suckers are big, big homes. And we were walking along. We could only imagine what it would be like to be up in one of those homes, you know, and the view that they must have and how much fun it would be to have a piano up there and play the piano while you're looking out over these, you know, spectacular views. But anyway, it was terrific. So we took about an hour. We went down. I did a Facebook live broadcast from the cliffs above the beach as the water was coming up, splashing on the rocks and stuff. It was just spectacular. And I just love the San Diego area. We were south of La Jolla. I have done that thing where if you watch the golf tournament that takes place at Torrey Pines, the PGA Tour goes to Torrey Pines in San Diego. And in the background, you see these guys parasailing with parachutes, basically. They're parasailing above the cliffs of Torrey Pines, California. And I'm one of these adventuresome guys. I thought, well, that has always looked cool. Maybe 5 years ago, my brother and I went out to visit my uncle, who used to live in San Diego, and we went over to Torrey Pines, and I was the only one who said, okay, I'm going up in one of these parasails. And I got to tell you, in the spirit of how great it is to be alive right now, I have watched that golf tournament for decades, and I've watched those guys sitting down in a harness with a parachute, big rectangular parachute above them, and they're just floating over the cliffs by the golf course. And I thought, dang, that looks like fun. But I'm also one of these guys who kind of gets motion sickness if you put me up in a Cessna airplane or something. I'm not that great at, you know, keeping my lunch down if I go up in a plane like that. But I had to try this. I just had to try this. This was maybe 5 years ago or something. And given that we're talking about San Diego, I got to just tell you this story real quick. This is such an amazing thing because you literally go out to these cliffs, big grassy area on top of the cliffs, and this guy who's your pilot straps you in, and then he straps himself in behind you, and the parachute is behind both of you laying on the ground. You are facing, you're perpendicular to the edge of the cliff. You're facing the Pacific Ocean. He then starts to kind of play with the parachute behind him, starts to yank it a little bit so it starts to catch a little bit of wind and it comes up off the ground. You're sitting in front of him like you're sitting on an invisible chair and you can't stand up. But you also can't fall down. There's an invisible chair that you're sitting on in this harness. And your legs are, of course, on the ground. And he then says to you, as you're facing the Pacific Ocean, and you're maybe a couple hundred feet away from the edge of the cliff, it's a 400-foot drop-off, by the way, down to Black Beach down below. That's what it's named, Black Beach. 400-foot drop-off. You're facing the cliff. And he says, okay, I need you to start shuffling and running with your feet as fast as you can towards the edge of the cliff. Now, that's called decision time. And so you kind of go, what? And that's how you do it. You have to run into the wind, and that wind is coming up over the cliffs from the ocean, and that's where you need to, the parachute needs to catch the wind, and then it'll sail, right? So I went, all right, here we go. And so I start running with my little feet as fast as I can, literally towards the edge of the cliff. The parachute catches, it lifts up into the air, and pretty soon, yours truly and my pilot are up in the air flying over the cliffs of Torrey Pines, California. And you basically fly parallel to the edge of the cliff, and you know, you can go high, you can go low, etc. One of the problems is if you don't, the idea is to land back on the cliff. If you don't land back on the cliff, you have no option but to land down on the beach. Now, that's not such a bad deal on one hand, but on the other hand, you have to walk back up to the top of the cliff, which is 400 feet, on some cutout steps, so you get back up on top, right? And you might be interested to know, I learned this when I was 400 feet above the beach. They play co-ed naked volleyball down on the beach. At least they did the day that I was flying above. And we get up in the air, and we kind of go north, and then we turn around, and we go south. And then we turn around, and we go back north again. And it's usually, it's supposed to be like a 20-minute ride. And after about 12 or 13 minutes, I kind of said to myself, okay, that's good. And I just kind of motioned to the pilot, I'm good. And so he takes me back down, and we land on the cliff, thank heavens. And I hop out, and I have lived that adventure. And for a few years, the background photo on my Facebook page was me parasailing over Torrey Pines. And they, you know, they have little gizmos that you can take pictures of yourself or a video of yourself while you're doing this. It was fabulous. So as I'm sitting there in California at the beach, south of La Jolla, which is south of Torrey Pines, you just look north and there's La Jolla, and Torrey Pines is just north of that. And I had that experience come back into my mind that I had 5 years earlier, where I literally ran straight off the edge of a 400-foot cliff. So, like I said, to open the show, there's never been a better time in the history of the world to be alive than right now. And people say, yeah, but all these problems we got going on, blah, blah, blah. We've had problems going on for hundreds of years, right? It's never been a time that I know of. Maybe there was, but I don't think there's ever been a time in the history of the world where everybody was at peace. Like Warren Buffett says, when it's election time, regardless of who wins, half the country is going to be ticked off, right? So, you know, nothing's ever perfect, but it is an adventuresome life. It is a wonderful life. And I'm just having a blast doing what I do all over the country. And it's always nice to come back home and kind of catch your breath and have a good time. In our business, I will make a couple of comments here about a couple of things. Some of the companies that have done really well in the junk removal business around the country have done very, very well in the Washington, D.C. area. This tends to be one of the best areas in the country to do what we do. So you see lots of junk removal companies in the Washington area, and a lot of those guys like to advertise by putting out yard signs. Yard signs are the little signs like a realtor will put along your median of your highway that announces, you know, an open house or something like that. You do these yard signs. They cost about $12 a sign. You put them out there until somebody from the city comes by and says, oop, illegal sign, and they pull it up or whatever happens. That's been a big way to advertise in our business in the Washington area for a couple of decades now. And it's really getting kind of out of hand. It's more and more junk removal companies pop up. More and more signs are being done. And it's kind of like nobody has an original thought about how to advertise. They just all keep doing what the other guys are doing. So as you drive down the road now, you'll see some of these signs advertising some of these other companies, and someone has spray painted in black paint the big word no, N-O, right over the face of the sign. Or someone else has come and sprayed black paint, a big X from corner to corner on the sign. And so there's your sign out advertising your business, and now it's getting spray painted. Or you drive down the road like I did yesterday, and you run over a sign because somebody uprooted it from the median of the road, and it's now in the middle of the road, and now it can jam into somebody's tire or create a problem. And it ends up, ironically, the junk removal companies that are supposed to be really good at hauling away junk are now inadvertently spreading junk around the county because their signs are getting uprooted and left on sidewalks and walkways and in the middle of the road and stuff like that. And I just think that's kind of an ironic thing for a junk removal company. We're supposed to be cleaning up the county, not cluttering up the county. And I think ironically, sometimes some of these companies are cluttering up the county more than they're cleaning it up. At least that's the way it looks when you drive down the road. We don't do yard signs. We do like bus shelter signage that we pay for. So we have big signs, right, on bus shelters that advertise what we do. And we don't mess around with little yard signs that end up in the streets and litter the county. I just kind of feel strongly about that one, I guess. So perhaps a point made for living, you know, walking your talk, maybe living what you're trying to teach other people to do. I don't know. I'm sure there's probably, you know, a whole bunch of money that's getting made because of the publicity these guys get from their signs, but I'm not a big fan of cluttering up our county with a bunch of street signs, which I think many of them are not supposed to be there. And consequently, they get uprooted and pulled up and who knows what else. But anyway, a little bit of a notion on it. Keep the county clean if you're a junk removal guy, I guess is what I'm suggesting. A quick shout out to the Montgomery County dump. I had a girlfriend out here a few years ago who actually, she had a lot of class. She came with me to do some jobs and did some work and put on a baseball cap, and I got her a shirt with our company name on it and stuff like that. And she rode around in the truck with me for a few days and did a great job and helped out with jobs and was wonderful. We pulled into the Montgomery County dump one time, and she said, wow, this is a postcard dump. I mean, this is so efficient and so clean and so well run, you could send postcards from this place. So I thought it was a pretty good description. And I was at that place about an hour ago, where they're redoing their weight scales. And I have to tell you how much I appreciate the work that these folks do. This is a county dump that is run by a company called Covanta. And I've gone here for years and done this. If you're a Montgomery County resident and the amount of stuff you have in your truck or car is less than 500 pounds, you don't pay anything to dump it there. If it's more than 500 pounds, then you do. Well, they are doing their scales. They're redoing their scales. And so they've had to adapt to keep the trucks coming in and out and not get it so backed up so much. They basically did some research and came up with a flat fee for the kind of vehicle that you had, which was the average amount that they would charge customers with your same kind of vehicle. to go in and dump something. So I went in there about an hour and a half ago with a 16-foot box truck, an Enterprise rental 16-foot box truck that was jammed full of stuff. That is a bunch of stuff. And to keep the trucks going, I went in there. Normally that would probably cost $100 to empty it, and there are places around the country where it's $200 just to get in the door. Even in a pickup truck, it's $200. And then it's on top of that, you know, your weight. So it can be very expensive around the country. I've come to appreciate the guys and gals who operate this facility locally. I guess the average fee for a truck this size is only $54. So I emptied an entire 16-foot box truck about an hour ago, just before coming here to do the radio show, for $54. That's cheap. I couldn't believe it, and I was thrilled. So I'm going to leave here in a few minutes from doing the show, go back to a house that's in Silver Spring, Maryland, where my buddy Warren is over there bagging up a bunch of stuff and taking it out to the curb. We'll then load up a bunch more stuff and do another load in the truck, and we'll have our first day of cleaning out a home that's in a residential area, a nice home, that has a dentist's office as an addition on the side of it, basically where the garage would be. This guy was a dentist there for many years. Now he's closing his dental practice, and we're over. He sold the home, and our job is to go over and clean this thing out. He bought one of our 2024 vouchers, which gives him a house clean out for $2,000 for $2,024 instead of what would have been probably around $3,500. It's about a 43% savings. If you want to get one of those anywhere in the country, just go to 1-800-JUNK-REFUND.com/2024-2/, and you'll go right to the page. There's a buy it now button right there. This is what the lady in Los Angeles bought. That's why I went to LA last week. It's what a lady up in Maine bought. I'll be going up there in about 2 weeks to clean out a place up there. A guy bought one from North Carolina that we're going to go to sometime before October. A guy in Silver Spring, Maryland bought one. In fact, he bought two. We're going to clean out one house with one of them and then do another house with the other one. That's where we are today. And we go all over the country doing these at a 43% discount to what it normally would cost to get it cleaned out. So it's a great deal. So check out if you have a home that needs to be cleaned out or an office that needs to be cleaned out, and it's going to be a multiple truck job. And most homes are 4 to 6 truckloads of stuff, meaning a 12-foot box truckload of stuff to clean out. Most of those jobs run around $3,500, anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000, something like that. Right now you can get it for $2,024 if you buy one of the vouchers. So go 1-800-JUNK-REFUND.com/2024-2/, and you'll find the page. It tells you all about it. There's a buy it now button, and if you buy one of those suckers, we don't care where you are in the continental United States, we'll come clean out a house for you, and you will say to us, hopefully, what the lady in Los Angeles texted to me yesterday, which was, thank you so much for coming out to do this job. We still can't believe you got it all done as fast as you did. So that's what we do. We have a blast doing it. And as a customer this morning in Silver Spring asked me when I walked into his home, and he said, how long have you been doing this? I said, about 20 years. He said, how long are you going to continue to do it? I said, as long as it makes me happy. So there you go. No end in sight, folks. Thanks for listening to Junk Refund Show. Remember, the bottom line is never been a better time in the history of the world to be alive than now. Join us next week, 3 o'clock on Thursday. I'm going to talk to my buddy Robert Parsons, who is an avid bird watcher and has seen close to 4,000 of the world's 10,000 species of birds. He just got back from a 3-week birding trip in Brazil. This guy's got more stories than you're going to hear in an hour. But anyway, that's coming up next week. If you know anybody that's a bird watcher or is curious about that, I got one of the real pros coming on the show next week to tell you how you can get the junk out of your life by watching birds. We do it all here, folks. Hey, special thanks to our producer, Don, and to BBS Radio. Great guys. We enjoy working with them, and we'll be back next week, Thursday at 3 o'clock Eastern, for the Junk Refund Show, where we teach you not only how to get the junk out of your living rooms and your garages, but also out of your life. Thanks for listening. This is your host, Alan Cook. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.